We have so much to celebrate this morning. Let's stand together as we begin by singing.
I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. And I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. And I'll raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. And I'll raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Yeah. I'm gonna sing in the middle of a storm.
So good to be together worshiping with you on this 4th of July. You may have a seat. As I said, we're going to do things a little bit differently this morning. We're going to sort of talk through some of the songs that we sing often here. And we're going to sort of focus on our independence. And so today we are here together celebrating our freedom and our independence as a country. But the interesting thing is that as the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776, there were still battles to be fought to solidify that independence. The Revolutionary War took place and the battles continued all the way until 1783. And so this morning we celebrate that freedom, but more importantly, as that video identified, we celebrate the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. We celebrate that we are freed from the bondage of sin. We are freed from fear and anxiety because we have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior over all. And so this morning, we're going to sing some songs that sort of identify that truth, identify that reality that we can live in. And we can remember our freedom as a country. We can remember our freedom as a nation. But we need not forget our freedom, our spiritual freedom, our eternal freedom that is found only in Jesus Christ. And so just like battle after battle after battle took place to solidify our freedom as a nation, battle after battle after battle takes place in our individual lives each and every day. But we can claim victory over those battles. And so this morning, as we sing, keep that in mind. We just sang this incredible song, Raise a Hallelujah. It's one of my favorite songs of these past few years, but there's some incredible lines in this song. It starts with, Raise a Hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies, I can raise a hallelujah. I can declare victory. And what in the world is hallelujah even mean? The literal translation of hallelujah is God be praised. So we praise God in the midst of chaos. We praise God in the midst of our struggles. And we praise him among our enemies. And we can do that. And we can claim that. One of the other lines, it's my favorite lines probably in that song, is that I sing a hallelujah and my weapon is a melody. Our weapon, one of our primary weapons against the attacks from the enemy, is our melody, is when we sing together and when we unite ourselves in voice, in sound, in melody. And as I hear those lyrics, as we just sang, I'm reminded of one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. And it's found in 2 Chronicles, and we've talked about it at times here, but it gives us a beautiful picture of the power of worship. And it's with King Jehoshaphat, who's the king of Judah, the southern nation of Israel. We've talked about that many times now over the course of these past several months. And in this moment, Judah was about to be under attack by several surrounding nations. And King Jehoshaphat was desperate. He did not know what to do. He pleaded with the Lord. He fasted with the Lord. He called the nation of Judah together and said, listen, what is it that you want me to do, God? Because I feel like we are up against a brick wall and I don't see victory ahead of us. And so he prayed, he fasted. And as he continued to do that, God spoke through an individual by the name of Jehaziel. And in chapter 20, verse 15, he says this. God speaks through this individual and says this. Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by the mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. And that filled King Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah with so much hope, so much confidence, so much faith, that the very next morning, with that faith in mind, King Jehoshaphat does something incredible. As they face these nations, as they're surrounded by these nations and these armies, this is what happens in verse 21. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. Singers to walk ahead of the weapons. Singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord, praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. And then this is what happens. At that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Their singing confused the enemy. Their singing was a weapon. And they claimed victory before there was ever a physical victory to be had. And they sang and they confused the enemy. When we get together and sing as one, when we are united together as one, we confuse the enemy's attacks. And we can stand victorious because of that. And so that was amazing because they didn't even have to lift a weapon. They never had to lift anything. Their main primary weapon was their voices. Our weapon is our song. It's our melody. Even the melody in our heart. Maybe you're like, oh, I'm not a singer. I don't like to do that. You can sing and deafen the enemy even by the melodies that you have in your heart. And I would encourage you to do that, but I would also encourage you to lift your voices together as we sing. This next song we're going to sing is called Sea of Victory, as we talk just about this. And one of the chorus goes like this, I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. Basically taken right from the passage of Chronicles. And so we are going to walk into our battles. We're going to walk into our struggles already claiming victory. And that is what the nation of Judah did. Can you imagine if all the battles that took place in America, people, the armies could walk into and go into these battles claiming victory before they even occurred? That's what we can do. That's what the nation of Judah did. That's what you and I can do. This is the confidence that we can have. The battle belongs to the Lord. So with that being said, let's continue by singing and declaring that truth this morning.
Held in the palm of your hand, we have absolutely nothing to fear. You are such a good and such a mighty God. We stand in awe of who you are this morning. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This next song that we're going to do is one that when we were putting this together, which we are all excited to do, it's just a fun, laid-back, chill kind of thing. Walking through worship songs, I think, is every worship leader's one of their favorite things to do. This song that I chose is Great Are You, Lord. It's kind of an oldie. We've sung it for a long time, but it just never gets old on me. And what I love the most about this song is that it falls into a category of a God-focused song. And sometimes I think all the songs are necessary. We need songs that we cry out to the Lord because we're broken and we're in trouble and we need him. We need songs where we focus on his faithfulness and his goodness, but I think overall, the majority of our song, the majority of our worship should be in all praise, all adoration, all glory to the Lord. And that's what I love about this song. There was a pastor that I heard say once, he said, worship is when we give God his breath back. And I love that visual, that everything we are, everything that's in us is from him. And I want to give everything I have back to him. In this one, in particular, what I really like to focus on, well, I like to focus on the whole song, but the chorus says, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. I could probably sit on it's your breath in our lungs and chew on that forever, because if you think about it, where are you? Where would we be if we didn't have breath in our lungs? So in other words, where would we be without the Lord? We're nothing without him. It's his breath in my lungs. And I have the honor of pouring my praise back out to him. And what I think I found in songs like this too, that are really no-brainers for us to sing, you can't go wrong no matter where you are in life, no matter what's going on, if you're in a good place, if you're in a bad place, if you need him desperately, you can never go wrong in simply worshiping and praising him for who he is. And I guarantee you that if your focus stays on that and not the majority on what we need him to do for us, I think you'll find that in worshiping him, which is what we were created to do, he will start to fill those gaps and fill those holes, maybe in a way that your prayer specifically for that thing that you think you know the answer to. I know what I need right now, Lord. I need you to do this. And just like a mother to my kids, I might say, I know you think that's what you need. But I have a better idea of what you need. So just come to me, be with me, and let me fill you with what I know you need. And that's how I view this song. This is where I want the majority of my heart to land. And he will fill me. My praise to him fills me with what I need because I was made to worship him. It's his breath in my lungs that I pour my praise back out to him. And it is also a church-driven song. This is a song to come together corporately in one accord like Trevor was saying, when we come together and sing, the enemy loses a whole lot of ground when we come together corporately as brothers and sisters in Christ and we declare, it's your breath in my lungs. I pour out my praise. And one day, all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, and these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. When we sing that together, all of us, unified, declaring it, there's power in that. So that's why I chose this song, because I really like this song. So if you would like to stand or sit, this is a morning for sure that whatever you're comfortable with, you can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, you can do whatever you like. So we're going to jump into this next song right now.
Are you, Lord? Cross has overthrown the grave.
Can I just mention how cool it is to have Trevor or Kendall Kaufman up here leading worship with us? As she was singing that, I couldn't help but think how cool it is to see the next generation. She's the next generation. All these kids out here, you kids over there, my kids back there in the sound booth. This church is really, really good about building up and training the next generation. It's part of our heart's cry. I don't think that ever really hit me before. But really hearing her sing that, and we've rehearsed this a bunch of times. This isn't new, but that's when I take a cue from the Lord that he's putting something on my heart. It's special to belong to a place that sees the worth in these kids. They're coming up into a world we're not familiar with. And this is really cool. This is really cool to be doing this. So anyways, that has nothing to do with the next song. This next song, Do It Again. It is unlike the other song that I mentioned. This is more of a me-focused song. But I wanted to point out, too, that is sometimes necessary. It's sometimes necessary to come to the Lord and be able to say, I worship you, I praise you, you are all in all, and that's why I know I can come to you. I need you to pull through for me again. What I love the most about this is the authenticity of the song, because to me it kind of, when I sing this song, I picture myself when I'm going through something difficult, and I also love how the writers kept this kind of vague. I think it's intentionally vague. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. You can, whatever that wall is in your life, and it can, that ebbs and flows, that comes in and out, that changes a lot. But what I love about it is this, to me, is like a conversation that I would have with God, kind of jumbled up in my head, nervous, anxious. I thought by now they'd fall, Lord. I didn't think I'd still be praying about this. I didn't think, but. And that's what I love. It's the quick turnaround. But you have never failed me yet. And what I think is so sweet is I kind of picture a parent with a child listening to the child and their concerns and what's going on. But then having the kid come to you and say, but I know you can help me. Because they're pulling from their past experiences with their parent, which is what we can pull from God. And that's why they're faith builders. That's why you need to stop and realize when God's pulled you through something, don't forget about that. Remind yourself of that when the next thing pops up and you're nervous or you're anxious or you're scared. And remember, he's never failed you yet. He can't. He can't fail. He's never failed you yet. He's not going to fail you. And it is perfectly okay to come to him with your hands out going, I really thought by now you would have taken care of this. But I still love you. I'm still going to turn to you. I know that you've never failed me. It's like a faith booster song. That's what I call it. And I love the progression of the song. As we go through the song, the chorus, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. And again, I just love how authentic it is that I'm saying to the Lord, I'm still here. This is still hard. But I know I'm still in your hands. Remind me, Lord. Remind me of those things. Help me to remember those things. And by the time we get down here at the very bottom, the outro of the song, which I wrote here, This feels like my promise to him. I know he's got me. I just need a good faith talk every once in a while. Not a pep talk, but a faith talk, reminding myself, you've never failed me yet. And I say to him, and I never will forget. You've never failed me yet. I never will forget. How much that must bless his heart. He doesn't need us to worship him, but he loves it when we do. And he knows that we were created to. And that is when we are in our sweet spot. And that's when he can just pour out all over us and fill in all the cracks. When we remember he's never failed, he never will. He's always got us. So, with that being said, again, you can stand or you can sit, whatever you're comfortable with. But join with me in this song.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Oh, your promise still stands. Great is your I've seen you move. This is my confidence. You never fail. Oh, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. Lord, I'm still in your hands. And this is my confidence.
That is a truth that we can all declare. And at times in our lives, it may feel like there's a failure. But he's got us in his hands, as Maureen has said. And we can declare that reality, and we can declare that victory. As we conclude this morning, we're continuing to focus on our independence as a nation. The interesting thing, though, is we celebrate our independence and we celebrate our freedom, but the reality, in order to truly live that independence and freedom out, we are actually still dependent on other things. We are still dependent on rules and regulations, and whether we want to admit it or not, we are still dependent on a government system that helps to try and make things align the way it's intended. Now, maybe that doesn't always happen the right way, but it's there, and it's there for a good purpose. Without it, chaos ensues. We've seen a lot of that take place over the course of this past year. So we are still dependent on many things to truly live out our independence. But the reality is that we are still, even though we are independent from the bondage of sin, we are still dependent when it comes to our spiritual life on Jesus Christ. We are still dependent on the Word of God. We are still dependent on communication with our Heavenly Father. We are still dependent on having experiences like this where we're gathered together in community. So even though we have this spiritual freedom and this independence, in order to truly live that out, we need to claim dependence on Jesus Christ and who He is. And the amazing thing is that Jesus is over the authority, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is over all of the structures and systems that are in place here on earth. We, first and foremost, we've said this before, are citizens of the kingdom of God, above and beyond all that is down here. And as we claim that citizenship, then we live out that citizenship, first and foremost, among the systems down here. And so that is a reality that we continually need to be reminded of. We are free. We are free as a nation. We are free spiritually. But we are still dependent, and ultimately we are dependent on the person of Jesus Christ and what he has done for each and every one of us. One of the ways that we acknowledge our dependence on him is exactly what we're doing this morning, declaring victory, declaring that he is King of Kings, that he is Lord of Lords. We are acknowledging, Lord, we can't do this without you. We are dependent on you, and thank you for what you've done so we can experience an eternal and spiritual freedom. But never let us lose focus on who you are first and foremost. So one of the ways we do that is by singing, and we're going to conclude by singing in just a minute. But another way we do that is by actually how we interact with other people each and every day of our lives. We just finished up a series talking about how we should interact with one another within the body of Christ, within the church. But Jesus instructs us not only how to interact with one another, but he instructs us how to interact with others in the world, regardless of their faith. And he gives us incredible and beautiful examples in his scripture, in his word. And one of those moments is what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew. And so next week, we're going to start a brand new series going through the rest of the summer, focusing on the teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Before we conclude this morning, check out this video for what's up next, beginning next week.
Some called him a prophet. Others, John the Baptist, teacher, Elijah, the one. The names as numerous as the people he touched. A miraculous touch. He healed a paralytic, fed 5,000, and rumor had it, he even brought a little girl back from the dead. That's why they came. Men, women, and children from the cities, towns, and countryside, all of them gathering in a remote place. Just a quiet pasture, like the night the angels declared his birth. Open space, so that even the least of these could hear his words. Those words that began to change the world. Those words that challenged the establishment, embarrassed the elite, tipped the scales of justice, and flipped the status quo. If you ever wondered what Jesus really said, or why he is the most controversial person in human history, then this July and August, we invite you to join us, like they did so many years ago, for a summer on the Mount.
It's going to be an incredible series, we're super excited about. And it's going to teach us and instruct us and remind us on ways in which we can continually, daily worship and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord by the way we live our lives. And as we conclude this morning, as I said, we're going to sing one final song. And I want to read one more passage that I found this morning. It's actually on the Bible app. It's the verse of the day. And it's in Galatians 5, verse 13, says this. For you have been called to live in freedom, brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. It's the whole idea behind this. Yes, we are free. But we are free to do what God has desired for us. And through that, we serve one another. We love one another in powerful ways. And again, one of the ways we do that is by singing. We started this morning by singing a song, Raise a Hallelujah. We began by raising a hallelujah, declaring that God be praised, giving him highest praise. We're going to conclude with a song, and we're going to end this morning singing the words, Hallelujah. This is one of my favorite songs, but we actually don't really sing it often here. You may have heard it in pre-service music at some point here, one or another, but the lyrics are powerful. It identifies the fact that, yes, God is king, he is ruler, he is over all, but he desires and delights to be with us, even in our broken state. When we've acknowledged that Jesus is our Savior, we are made whole in him, and we are welcomed into his presence. Even though Jesus Christ himself has a throne of 10,000 angels singing around it, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this song declares, and this is true, that Jesus Christ delights when we sing hallelujah here below, down here, on earth, as we lift up praises. That delights him greatly. Verse 2, 10,000 angels surround your throne to bring you praise that will never cease, but hallelujah here below is still your favorite melody. He loves to hear from us in every single thing we do. So we're going to sing this song. We are going to declare hallelujah to him. Jesus Christ is our King, enthroned above all else, above all structures in place down here. All praise is his forevermore. And as we've already declared, one day we will all sing. We will all praise his name. Oh, what a wonderful day to come when the knee bows, every knee bows before your name. But we're not going to wait until it does. We're not going to wait until it does, for here and now shall your kingdom reign. We are a part of the kingdom of God here on earth right now, so we need to live just like it. So we're going to sing this song. We're going to end with the word literally hallelujah. Immediately following that, I'm going to dismiss you. Have a phenomenal weekend. Have a phenomenal 4th of July. If you would like to communicate with God beyond song but in prayer, I would love for you to head over to that wall over there. Amy Richmond will be over there, and she's going to pray along with you if you need anything. If this service has sort of inspired anything in you, we want to pray alongside you. That, too, is worship. So we're going to sing, we're going to pray, and we're going to have a phenomenal rest of this weekend and hope God gives us phenomenal weather. But more importantly, we are going to raise our voices and sing hallelujah, God be praised. Let's do that. Let's stand together as we sing.
1,000 angels surround your throne to bring you praise that will never cease. But hallelujah from you below is still your favorite melody. And we sing hallelujah.
Praises, every bit of it. God be praised. Happy 4th of July. Celebrate your freedom in Christ. If you need prayer, please stick around as well. God bless you. See you next week.